The issue that confronts us is not the survival of the earth. The earth has outlived everything that has threatened its existence. The issue is human survival. It is the destruction of the earth's ecology that sustains human existence. And behind every moment of this destruction is the motivation of human greed. Our utilitarian lifestyle, the notion that everything in creation exists to serve our every whim. Nothing we have tried has changed this lifestyle. In fact, it has accelerated. We must learn to relate differently, or we will perish. Let's call this different way of relating spirituality. Now, spirituality is as old as human history, but we moderns have ignored it because the vehicles of its conveyance have smacked of superstition and scientific ignorance. So I will seek to make sense of it. No, as a matter of fact, I will make sense of it. Okay? And I begin with this poetic comment by E.E. Cummins. How fortunate are you and I, whose home is timelessness. We, who have wandered down from fragrant mountains of eternal now to frolic in such mysteries as birth and death a day, or maybe even less. I am born in mystery. I live in mystery. I die in mystery. Nevertheless, I am driven by my nature to create a way of seeing within this mystery that determines how I relate to myself, others, and the universe. A perspective that choreographs my frolic in mystery from cradle to grave. And since I'm literally betting my life on this way of seeing, I want it to be grounded in the best knowledge available. And for me, that knowledge is our present understanding of the principles and the rhythms by which the universe itself operates. So I'm going to share three of these principles that I believe are the ground of spirituality. Here's the first one. The universe will not stop changing. This is its stability, a stability that surrounds us and is within us. Remember what you looked like when you were 10 years old? You're probably too old to remember. Remember the shape of your body? Remember how much hair you had? And its color. Would you believe that I was voted the most handsome boy in my high school graduating class? Oh, don't laugh at that. You didn't know me then. Here's how the artist Pablo Picasso captured this principle. Every act of creation is, first of all, an act of destruction. Nothing can be created without something else being destroyed. I cannot eat, drink, or breathe without participating in this process of destruction creation. Nothing that presently exists could be what it is without this process. All industry relies on its capacity to destroy one thing in order to create something else. To facilitate war, we have invented a way to speed up this process called the atom bomb. This process of destruction creation is the universal constant. For humans, we call this rhythm birth life, death. The universe is both our cradle and our grave. And E.E. Cummins again illustrates this principle in a poem which he calls Nobody Loses All the Time. I had an uncle named Saul who was a born failure, and nearly everybody said he should have gone into vaudeville because my Uncle Saul could sing McCann, he was a driver on Christmas Eve like hell itself, which may or not account for the fact that my Uncle Saul indulged in that possibly most inexcusable of all, to use a highfalutin phrase, luxuries, that is, are to wit, farming. And be it needlessly added, my Uncle Saul's farm failed because the chickens ate the vegetables. So my Uncle Saul had a chicken farm till the skunks ate the chickens. When my Uncle Saul had a skunk farm, but the skunks caught cold and died. And so my Uncle Saul imitated the skunks in a subtle manner, or by drowning himself in the water tank. But somebody who'd given my Uncle Saul a Victor Victrola and records, remember now, presented him upon the auspicious occasion of his decease a scrumptious, not to mention splendiferous funeral, with tall boys wearing black gloves and flowers and everything. And I remember we all cried like the Missouri when my Uncle Saul's cabin lurched because somebody pressed a button, and down went my Uncle Saul and started a worm farm. Here's the implication of the principle. It makes no difference what we humans do. We cannot stop this process of change. The universe will not alter this change to suit our theological whims. It will not exclude us from its rhythm of creation, destruction. It will treat us humans no differently than our galaxy, the sun, the moon, the vegetables, the chickens, the skunks, Uncle Saul, or the worms. This principle is the foundation of spirituality. Here's a second principle that informs the notion of spirituality. Everything in the universe is made of the same stuff. This is the very ground of the process of destruction, creation, of change. Albert Einstein's famous mathematical equation, E equals mc squared, captures this truth scientifically. The theoretical physicist, Heinz Pagel, says that the meaning of this equation is that energy and the forms energy takes are the same thing. Science calls it energy. More popular metaphor, stardust. Robert Fulghum calls it cosmic compost. But whatever we choose to call it, whatever the form it takes, a baby, a rock, a flower, a star, everything is made of the same stuff, and all of these forms are in the process of destruction, creation, of being transformed. The description we Unitarian Universalists use to describe these relationships is the interdependent web of existence. And my, how we love the poetry of this phrase, and we can repeat it endlessly. But its more accurate and graphic description is food chain. Whatever we call it, everything that exists is living off of everything else that exists. The reason is that since everything is made of the same stuff, it can become anything else at any moment. The universe is a holistic, interdependent web that is constantly transforming its own being by transforming the beings within it. To apply this to humans, every single one of us is in the constant process of transformation, where tomatoes and beans and carrots and meat and water and air and Starbucks coffee become our own bones and flesh. We are what we eat, drink, and breathe. And beyond our immediate consumptions, we are composed of some nova star that exploded billions of years before our Earth even existed. Here is this logical implication. Everything in the universe is becoming something else. We humans were a multitude of forms before we were born, and will become a multitude of forms after we die. And here's the second implication of this principle. If one part of the universe is holy, all of its parts are holy. This is the same kind of logic that invented democracy. Aristotle said it this way: democracy arose from men thinking that if they're equal in one respect, they're equal in all respects. Spirituality accepts this logic applied to all relationships. Everything comes from the same womb. Everything shares the same universal genes. The forms of the universe are a cosmic family. Therefore, all of its parts are holy. That is the basic premise of spirituality. This means that utilitarianism is the primal human sin. Whether it is expressed toward other humans or the environment of our living. This also means that the only legitimate response of humans toward all the forms in the universe is a stewardship that seeks to enhance a mutual well-being. Spirituality recognizes that survival requires mutual destruction in the web, but it also asserts that engaging this destruction should be done with reverence, gratitude, and humility. It's only such an attitude that can overcome the motivations of human greed. Again, Albert Einstein aptly summarizes. He says, to teach a child not to step on a caterpillar is as good for the child as for the caterpillar. In Alice Walker's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Color Purple, Shug Avery, the character that makes love come alive and who represents the color purple, speaks a line that is a metaphor for a genuine spiritual relationship with creation. She says, I know that if I cut a tree, my arm will bleed. So before I go to the third premise of spirituality, let me answer three questions. The first one is, what is spirituality? Based on the first two principles that I've shared, here's the answer. It is a way of relating that honors the sacredness of everything that exists. And paradoxically, it does this honoring while also recognizing the necessity of destruction for the sake of transformation. Spirituality is a way of relating stardust to stardust, energy to energy, or if you please, spirit to spirit, from whence comes the word spirituality. All of our most profound relationships are spiritual. Love is a supreme example. Love is an attempt to know another person beyond physical and verbal limitations. It's an attempt to enter the spirit, the stuff, the stardust of that person and to commune with the energy of their being. Being spiritual is a way of relating that honors the holiness of creation. It is a communion of cosmic compost. Here's the second question. Is spirituality catching. What if I don't want it? The answer is implicit in all that I've shared. Jacqueline Small says it this way: we are not human beings learning to be spiritual. We are spiritual beings learning to be human. So the answer to the question is, you cannot catch what you already are. The third question is, in being spiritual, do I have to give up my humanist values? And the answer is no. Rather than giving up your humanist values, spirituality asks us to treat the entire womb of our existence with the same reverence we intend to treat other humans. Here's the third grounding principle of spirituality. The universe hums with intimate communication between all its forms. Since everything is creation is made of the same stuff, then communication between these forms can occur. For humans, this means that we can have a personal relationship with creation without reducing it to human attributes. All we have to do is open ourselves to what it has to say. It speaks through its energy, and we listen through ours. We speak the same language because we're made of the same stuff, because we're family. This is possible because of the wonderful gift the universe has bestowed upon humans called mind. Our mind has two capacities. One is reason. Reason enables us to add, subtract, divide, and multiply our experience so as to create meaning. Reason enables us to verbally communicate with other humans, to make order out of our experience, to translate the messages of our physical senses into skill and survival. With reason, we create our beliefs, we invent our conscience, we make choices, and live with deliberateness. Spirituality affirms that reason is essential to being fully human. Our other mind capacity is intuition. Intuition enables us to know what reason and our physical senses cannot tell us. The universe is full of energy signals from all that is within it. Through technology, we have invented ways to harness some of these signals. This is what radar, sonar, radio, television, telephones, and modern communication are all about. Intuition is our mind's natural energy antenna. Through intuition, we pick up the energy signals other beings transmit in our environment and give them labels. We talk about feeling the spirit of a crowd. We sense danger in our environment. We sometimes know who's calling on the phone before we pick up the receiver. If you've never had that experience, you're too heavy into reason. Everything in our environment is not only made of energy, it is vibrating that energy into the atmosphere around it. Intuition is our mind's ability to pick up these energy transmissions. We can know if someone else is happy or sad without a word being spoken. We can also pick up this energy that exudes from animals and plants and other forms in the universe, because everything that exists is made of vibrating energy throwing off signals consistent with its being. In the Western world, we're taught from birth to disregard and distrust our intuition and to solely rely on our reason. Spirituality asserts that intuition is as important to human knowing as reason. Intuition moves us into a sphere of knowing that is denied to reason. Mindfulness is permitting ourselves to be fully human by letting both reason and intuition instruct our living. Intuition not only opens us to what our environment has to speak, but compensates for the limited mathematics of reason with a greater knowing. Indeed, were we to strip away what intuition communicates to us on a daily basis, we could not survive as a species. Long before modern science informed us of the interconnectedness of all existence, the English poet Francis Thompson, who died in 1907, had intuitively understood this truth. Here is the words. All things by immortal power, near and far, hiddenly to each other linked are, that thou canst not stir a flower without the troubling of a star. If we wish to know what the universe can reveal to us, and if we wish to have a profound relationship with all that exists, then intuition is the pathway to communicating with the cosmic family. Here's a story that illustrates. Early in the 1800s, in the days when the great fleets of sailing ships went out of New Bedford to scour the oceans of the world for whale oil, the most famous skipper of them all was Eleazar Hull. Captain Hull took his vessel into more remote seas, brought home greater quantities of whale oil, and lost fewer crewmen in the process than any other master of his time. And all of this was the more remarkable because he had no formal navigational training of any kind. And when he was asked how he guided his ship infallibly over the desert of waters, he would reply, "Well, I would go up on the deck, listen to the wind in the rigging, get the drift of the sea, take a long look at the stars, then I'd set my course." One day, however, the march of time caught up with this ancient mariner. The insurance company, whose agents covered the vessels of Captain Hull's employers, declared that they would no longer write a policy for any ship whose master did not meet certain formal standards of education in the science of navigation. Captain Hull's superiors could understand this new rule, but they were at a loss as to how to approach this proud man whose life had been spent on the bridge and tell him he must either go back to school or retire. And after some consultation, they decided to meet the problem head on. Three of the company's top executives waited on Captain Hull and presented him their dilemma as tactfully as possible. To their amazement, the old fellow responded enthusiastically. He had, it appeared, always wanted to know something about science, and he was entirely willing to spend several months studying it. So the arrangements were made. Eleazar Hull went to school, studied hard, graduated near the top of his class. Then he returned to his ship, set out to sea, and was gone for 2 years. When the skipper's friends heard that he was putting into port again, they met him in an informal delegation at the dock. They inquired eagerly how it felt to navigate by the book after so many years of doing it the other way. "It was wonderful," Captain Hull responded. "Whenever I wanted to know my position, I go to my cabin, get out all the charts, work through the proper equations, and set a course with mathematical precision. Then I go up on the deck, get the drift of the sea, listen to the wind in the rigging, take a long look at the stars, and correct my computation for error." Intuition is our pathway into spiritual connections. Holy is what we declare to be an ultimate value in our experience. And as Unitarian Universalists, religionists, we hold two things holy. We have a holy mission, which is to transform human destiny toward its most noble potential. And we have a holy message, which is the instrument of this transformation. Here's this message. Everything in the universe is part of a cosmic family. This family is holy. As its members, we are committed to relating in ways and being stewards that is best for the entire family. This is spirituality. Tagore said it long before modern times. The same stream of life that runs through my veins night and day runs through the world and dances in rhythmic measures. These rhythmic measures are the principles that govern the universe, and spirituality is our frolic in their mystery. So let us frolic. Please join me in a moment of silent reflection.